And welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. And I trust you've been well, Mickey?
I have. My St. Louis Blues are in the second round of the playoffs and looking pretty tough right now.
All right. We're both in fine form then. My New York Rangers down to a seventh and deciding game against Ottawa. We'll see how that transpires. I'll pull for your Blues. You'll pull for my Rangers, okay?
Well, to a certain point, but with Vancouver eliminated, the Blues now have home ice advantage in the West, but the Rangers have the tiebreaker on that.
So. Yes. Okay.
At some point, I need the Rangers to go away.
Not on your life. Not on your life. Let's get right to it.
Maybe tomorrow night, Rob.
Yeah, maybe. Let's get right to it. Last time out, Mickey, we focused on manganese, number 25 on the periodic table. Today, we're moving over one notch. 24 is in the spotlight, and that means we are taking a look at chromium, another ferrous metal. Fill us in on some of the history of this metal and its physical properties, Mickey.
Okay, well, once again, it's transition metal, steely gray, lustrous, hard. We all know it takes a polish, high melting point. Although it's hard, it's malleable and it's corrosion resistant. Mm-hmm. The name comes from the Greek chroma, which means colored, and it forms many colored compounds.
Okay, and just like manganese, which we talked about last time, Mickey, chromium, certainly not a rare element in by any stretch, is it? I mean, it's pretty abundant in the Earth's crust. It's not hard to find.
No, it isn't. It's 21st most abundant, 100 ppm average, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's fairly abundant. It was first used by the Chinese more than 2,300 years ago, and we know that because they found bronze weapons in tombs that were not tarnished, and that was because they had a coating of chromium across them. So, and we all know about its ability to be shiny and to protect surfaces from rust.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you have a motorbike? Have you ever had a bike?
I have an ATV.
You have an ATV. Lots of chrome on it?
None. Camouflage,
okay.
Rob.
Okay.
I am the mercenary geologist. Okay.
Okay, but you know, if you're into bikes, if you're into Harley Davidsons, for example, look at all that nice shiny chrome on there. You're looking at chromium. That plays an important role in that. But what are some of the other uses for chromium today that we find, Mickey? We don't use it on the ends of weapons or arrows.
It's mainly used as an alloy for stainless steel. You can't make stainless steel without chromium, so greater than 11% used in stainless steel. Historically, it's been used as colored pigments, and it forms various compounds with lots of different colors, from green to violet to yellow, orange, red, etc. Was first discovered by the Chinese, but interestingly enough, it wasn't discovered in the Western world until 1761. In the Ural Mountains. It was isolated in 1798. It's also used in paint and tanning salts, and those uses were in effect by about the 1800s. Current use is 85% steel alloys, electroplating, chemicals, refractories, foundries, etc.
And the main benefit, what, it adds strength and it's very resistant to corrosion. Would that be the main benefits for it?
Right. So what it does is it forms a very thin, micron-thick layer. It oxidizes very easily, and so it forms this layer, and it protects metals from corrosion, and we know it mostly as stainless steel, which will not rust, as opposed to iron that keeps getting attacked by water and oxygen and rusts away. So that is the main physical characteristic that makes it such a very useful metal.
Okay, a very useful metal can be found in all sorts of items in society today, but does that really add up to a lot of annual production on a global scale? And we've talked about these different ferrous metals in the past, that they're a very important ingredient in a lot of different things, but when you put it all together, we're not talking about a massive amount of material, are we?
Well, in the case of chrome, we are, because it's a bulk mineral commodity, much the same as iron is and manganese is. So it's one of the most used metals in the crust. I'm not real sure where it falls. Certainly, we know that the most used metals would be iron, aluminum, copper, and manganese. We've talked about all those before, but it's somewhere below that. There was something on the order of 19 million tons of chromite mined last year. Now, chromite would be the oxide form of chromium, but so it is a significant market.
Okay, and where are the main areas of production in the world today? Where can we find the big concentrations of this?
Well, South Africa dominates world production, something on the order of 40%. And the reason is that chromite occurs in layered mafic intrusions. So you have the Bushveld complex, which is where all the platinoids come from. So you have these layered intrusions where crystals settle out, and they settle into platinum layers and chromatite layers. So the chromatite layer would be above the platinum layer. So that's where most of the production throughout the world occurs. So we have South Africa, Kazakhstan, India, and then a whole slew of other countries, including Turkey is the fourth largest and is significant. And then you have some minor players, which would be Oman, Russia, Brazil, Finland, Zimbabwe, etc. Notice that I only mentioned one country in the Americas, and that's Brazil. And as we all know from plate tectonics, Brazil used to be hooked up to Western Africa, so the geology is very similar.
Okay, do we have a firm handle on the supply-demand situation right now, Mickey, and how does one keep track of the price of this? It's not, I'm assuming it's not traded like copper anywhere where it's easily to keep track of the price movement, but what can you tell us in that?
Well, the supply-demand equation is in balance, and basically as demand happens, supply comes on. So there is a swing production that will keep supply-demand fundamentals in balance. That said, and once again, it's one of these metals that doesn't trade on the world market. Mm-hmm. There's no futures market, et cetera. It's negotiated contracts. It sells by the ton as a bulk mineral commodity. So we've seen prices rise quite significantly since the end of the global financial crisis in 2009, when the price was about $200 a ton. Last year, it averaged about $350 a ton, with a low of maybe $315 and a high approaching $400 a ton. So basically, as a component of iron, stainless steel, it is very much in tune with the health of the world's economy and the steel industry.
Are there companies that specialize in the mining of chromium, or is it more of a byproduct of mining for other materials?
No, these are standalone mines. Mm-hmm. Chromite mines are standalone mines. But this is big business, as we've already alluded to. And so increasingly what has happened, even in South Africa, we are tending to end up with vertically integrated major mining companies, mines, smelters, plants, etc., marketing. So in the last, say, decade or so, the infrastructure has really moved away from the steel producers, for example, the United States and Canada, to ore producers such as South Africa and China. The industry has gotten very much more efficient through metallurgical and technological advances. For example, now ferrochrome, which is one of the main products, the two products would be chromium metal and ferrochrome. There are now technologies which enable slag piles of ferrochrome to be reworked and the ferrochrome recovered. The business, because of economic restraints, has gotten much more efficient, as most businesses do through the years.
Okay, an efficient business, pretty strong demand, a rising price. What does it all add up, though, for investing opportunities? Is this a ferrous metal that presents an opportunity for the listener?
I don't really think so, unless you want to go buy Cliffs Natural Resources, which Cliffs is a very interesting and very robust and growing integrated steel, iron, and ferrous metal company. But, you know, we delve into and deal with the junior resource space.
That's
so
right, yeah.
In that regard, it's not a place that very many juniors would choose to play. As I've already said, these are generally vertically integrated mine smelter marketing companies. That said, there was a very good success in junior space about 3 years ago, where Cliff Natural Resources bought Free West Resources, which through drilling a geophysical anomaly found a very nice chromatite deposit in the James Bay lowlands of northern Ontario, and mm-hmm. sold out to Cliffs. In North America, we don't really have significant deposits with the exception of the Stillwater Complex in Montana, which produces palladium and platinum, and these metals, as we've already said, tend to go together. And there is always a junior that seems to be willing to take a flyer on whatever specialty or ferrous mm-hmm. or metal that's out there. So there have been attempts over the years to develop the chromatite deposits and explore for them in the Stillwater Complex, but it was sub-economic in 1947, and it remains sub-economic today. So there's not much opportunity, in my opinion, for investment in chromium explorers or developers.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up on that. Oh, Mickey, we will reconnect in a couple of weeks. What do you want to focus on?
Well, we'll work our way through the ferrous metals. So we started with titanium. We did vanadium well over a year ago, chromium, mm-hmm. manganese. We'll skip iron until the end, I think.
Okay.
So our next metal, let's see, we've already done cobalt. So let's go look at nickel next time.
Nickel it is. Alrighty. Thanks very much for this, Mickey. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Rob.
Okay, that is Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.